bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
At Oriole Park at Camden Yards, and the Orioles are suddenly as hot as the weather. It is a Triple H day in downtown Baltimore. It is hazy, it is hot, it is humid, and the Orioles have a chance to complete a four-game sweep of the Texas Rangers. Buck Showalter and Rock Kabatko after this on the Orioles Radio Network.
Rock Kabatko with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report. Buck, three straight quality starts now, all one run in six innings. You're looking at this and saying, okay, where was this before? What's causing this to suddenly click here with this group?
Right. Am I doing that? No, I'm moving on tonight and hoping Wade can keep it going, because this is the type of stuff that, you know, I've said before, we have the last few days, it's the first time all year the bullpen's kind of, we got it like we wanted to get it, and it's being allowed by the starting pitching, because we're able to, very important innings, like Castro pitched night before last, two innings. Donnie Hart pitched two innings last night, which kept us from having to get some very important people up. And that starting pitching, it affects the tempo of the game. It affects the offense. It affects the defense. It actually, you know, and you're seeing a little crisper brand of baseball, a little you know, I'm not telling anybody anything they didn't already know. All around baseball, so, and fans, they understand that. And that, but it's got to continue. And certainly there's some reasons why. Things that they weren't doing, they're doing a better job of. You know, I think Roger does a thing about, percentages of execution of pitches. You know, Goss was at like 78% last night, which is his high for the year. He was throwing the baseball where he's wanted to throw it.
The club was batting 203 with the bases loaded before last night, and you get four run scoring hits in that seventh inning with the bases loaded. Was it nice just to kind of see that snowball?
Well, it was also some fortunate hits. We had some ground balls that rolled through because they had to play the infield, and we had a ball off the end of the bat. Manny broke his bat that flared in there. It wasn't like, but we had a lot of good at bats. Some walks didn't, you know, the things that we talk about here about passing the baton and not thinking that I've got to get big and do something. Even the balls hit off over right field, you know, they were staying on those, not trying to pull them, and they drove them that way. Adam was actually looking for a breaking ball in the ball he hit over there.
Would it be a reach at all to say, as well as the team is playing right now, besides the fact that you can attribute it to, you know, the quality starts and the timely hitting, that maybe this is a team that's just venting a little bit as well because they're tired of being asked every day about trade rumors and a possibility of having some key players removed when they still want to make a run for this thing?
Well, you'd like for it to be that simple, but they were tired of it after the first day. They were tired of it after the second day and the third day. So I'd like to say, yeah, that's it, but it's a lot deeper than that, Rock.
Rock Kabatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report, Wade Miley on the mound. Buck, what do you need to see from him in order to get him to turn things around here?
Well, you know, Wade's one of those guys that you watch him pitch, you don't look at him not having good command, but he misses with his fastball about 2 inches. And he's just got to be a little more consistent with the location of the fastball. He's going to work with a quick tempo, and you know, he's got a chance. He's got multiple pitches to get people out. He won't be carrying all four of them. If he's carrying two of them, he's got a feel for it. I hope one of them's fastball. He'll give us a chance to win.
Get another lefty tonight in Cole Hamels. He's been on a roll this month, two runs in 22 innings. What makes him so effective?
Well, this is one of the top 10 or 15 starters in baseball, and we're going to see him tonight, obviously. Command of a lot of pitches. Cutter's become a big pitch for him. He's going to throw less than 50% fastballs. Another one of those starters that I know I was talking to Bordy about it today, that the number, and Ben McDonald, the number of starters now in the big leagues that throw less than 50% fastballs. You know, I know the Houston staff, their whole staff is less than 50%. So that's a part of the game that you've got. You know, and they throw 95 miles an hour. You know, Hamill's got a big arm, athletic, a lot of ways to get you out. But you better understand that he's not always going to pitch to the count.
Do you have any injury updates for us?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't know. Ryan, I know, is hopefully things go well after the Tampa series. He's scheduled to go out. Mike Wright, I know Santander's nearing a rehab assignment. A lot of people ask about him. So we've got three or four guys very close to going out. I know J.J. Hardy's going to go with us on this road trip and hopefully get a little closer to going out also.
Santander may seem like a bit of a forgotten guy to a lot of people, but do you still feel like there's something there and it's worth kind of seeing this through?
Well, of course, he's been hurt for a long time. We think he's finally getting ready to get that all behind him. I think we saw it in the spring. There's some real interesting skills there, and we knew there was going to be some medical challenges, but we think it's got a chance to be well worth waiting for.
Thank you, Bucks. Take it back upstairs to Jim Hunter.
Well, last night, Kevin Gausman was outstanding. Six innings, just one run on four hits, and he picked up his sixth win of the year. And when we come back, a couple of guys from LSU get together, Kevin Gausman and Ben McDonald, as we continue with the warm-up show on the Orioles Radio Network. Orioles and Texas Rangers here tonight at Camden Yards. The Birds with a chance for a four-game sweep, and they're in position for that sweep because of outstanding starting pitching. Chris Tillman on Monday, Dylan Bundy on Tuesday, and last night it was Kevin Gausman's turn, and one of his best starts of the year resulted in a win. Ben McDonald and Kevin Gausman get together up next on the Orioles Radio Network.
Ben McDonald here on the Orioles pregame show, sitting beside last night's starting pitcher, Kevin Gausman, and last night's winning pitcher, too. Picked up his sixth victory of the year, working six innings, striking out eight, only one run. All right. Last two starts for this, not real good, right? What was different for you? What did you notice? What was different for you last night opposed to the two starts before that?
I think overall I just did a better job of pitching. I think against the Cubs I kind of got into way too many hitters counts and, just really was a two-pitch pitcher for that start. For whatever reason, I just didn't have a feel for my slider. And, so last night going into the start, I knew that's a big pitch for me. So, being able to throw that 1-0, 1-1, kind of get back in the count. And also throw executed pitches, not just, something that's going in there and doesn't have the action that I want. And so really more than anything, just consistency of all my pitches and making big pitches when I needed to.
Well, that's what I noticed, too, is that you put the hitters on defense pretty much right away. You worked ahead in the count last night, and as we all know, that's always an important thing. And, of course, for me, what I really liked is your ability. A few times, you talk about big pitches, you got in some plus counts, fastball counts, and everybody thought fastball was coming, but you were able to flip the breaking ball and sometimes the changeup in there to get some strikes on some guys and some plus counts. Plus, you got eight strikeouts last night, five or six of which on the split finger. It really seemed to be working last night.
Yeah, I had a real good feel for it last night, and I've pitched against this team before, so have a little bit more experience against them than maybe the Cubs, for instance. But just went in there and tried to really kind of do what Tilly and Bundy did, the two nights before, and that was throw changes behind in the count, and like I said, slider was a big pitch for me. And I think it all kind of starts with fastball command, though.
Yeah, no doubt. You mentioned Tilly and Bundy and what they did. How much confidence? Because, it's no secret. You guys have struggled at times this year with the start and rotate. But how does it help your confidence? See Tilly go out. He gives up one run in six innings. All of a sudden, Bundy follows that up. Then last night before that with just one run in six innings, and you get back on the bump. Seeing those guys have confidence, does that kind of give you a little bit of confidence going out?
Yeah, absolutely. And, also with how our bats are swinging it right now, I said this in my post-game interview last night, you just try to be the guy not to mess it up, and I've they've given me a lot of leads this year that I've kind of given right back to some teams. So it was good to, kind of be able to the guy to stop it and not let that game get away from us. And obviously, scoring 10 runs, that's pretty rare. So you just those are the games that you got to win.
Absolutely. And, you're right. The offense, only scored three runs first night but one. But still, the last couple of nights, the explosion has been there for the offense, which is certainly a good sign. And so the last three games, you guys go for a rare four-game sweep tonight against the Rangers and Wade Miley on the mound tonight. Looking at it the way it is right now, you guys have won three in a row and sitting, a few games out, but still a chance. And it looks like it's starting to come back together and kind of like the team that it was early in the year when you guys on a serious run. What do you think it's going to take for you guys to continue this from this point forward?
Well, like you said, it's no secret that our rotation hasn't been a strong suit of ours. So I think it all kind of starts there. When I was here in 2014, our second half, we had one of the best starting rotations in the league. We were just really consistent. We had Miguel Gonzalez and Tillman had a great year that year, and Chen also. And I think it kind of feeds off of each other. And so, sometimes when one guy's struggling, another guy struggles, and it kind of has a snowball effect. And I think it's true on the other side. I think a lot of teams that have really good starting pitchers, they're consistent. And they go out there every night, and when they're coming out of the game, their team is still in it. Whether they've given up three runs or four, they keep it within striking distance. And obviously with our offense and how our defense plays behind us, we have everything that we need. So And our bullpen. You know, we got guys in the back end of the bullpen that can come in big situations and get strikeouts when they need them, and ground ball double plays. And so anytime you give the ball to those guys with the lead, you feel confident that they're going to shut the door for you.
Yeah, well said. Well said. All right. In closing, our Tigers, man. Come close, but they couldn't pull it out. Did you watch any of the College World Series this year?
Oh, yeah. I watched. I thought they were going to do it after they beat Oregon State. And, Florida was pretty good and had some things that didn't go our way in some games. And so, I think college baseball, I think momentum is huge in those games, just like it is in the playoffs for us. And so, when you score some runs early in the game, that other dugout gets pretty loud. And as you know, college baseball, people get fired up and the fans are really into it. And so, it was unfortunate, but they obviously had a great year. And I'm happy for Coach Maneri, happy for Alan Dunn and all those guys down there. And, hopefully next year they can get one.
That's right. All right, Kevin Geisman on the pregame show last night's a winning pitcher. Appreciate you, bud. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, Ben, is it that easy to turn the switch and put a performance like last night?
Well, it was last night. I mean, everything was working. We saw the fastball up to 97. His command was there. He got ahead. He was more aggressive in the strike zone. But I think more importantly, you heard him talk about it, when he saw Tillman and Bundy go have success before him, I think that gave him a little bit of confidence. And he navigated through the first couple innings, stuck his chest out, got the confidence going, and, man, he was on a roll last night. It was good stuff.
I'm proud of you. You waited till the last question to get in that LSU plug. I thought it would come in the first. That's Kevin Gausman. Well, you heard Kevin Gausman reference Chris Tillman and Bundy ahead of him. We'll see if Wade Miley, a left-hander, can follow up what those three right-handers did in the first three games in this series. Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball. And welcome back to Camden Yards. Jim Hunter on the Browns on the City postgame show. Browns on the City by Happy with Browns. And what a game of twists and turns as Texas built the lead, only to see the Orioles storm back and win it by the final of 9-7. Texas got on the board in the first inning to take a lead before Cole Hamels even came to the mound. Sinsu Chu walked with one down. He stole second base and went to third when the throw of Castillo bounced into center field. After Elvis Andrews flied out, that got Adrian Beltre up, and Adrian with a chance for an RBI with two down in the first. Left-hander deals, swinging a line drive, slicing the right. That ball is trouble. That's heading for the scoreboard, and it's in there for a base hit. Chu will score. Rickard plays the carom, fires to second base, and out at second base is Beltre. What a throw by Rickard, and a quick tag by Ruben Tejada. So Beltre gets the run in. It'll be a single. He's out trying to stretch, and that will end the inning. But a big two-out base hit for Adrian Beltre gives Texas the lead. Now, in the second inning, Texas tried to score again as they got a one-out single by Rougned Odor, but Miley got a big assist from first baseman Chris Davis. 1-2 pitch is swung on and grounded to first. Davis over, makes a lunging grab, and dives to the base with a glove, and he gets his man.
Wow.
Wide of the bag, and it was hit towards the line, a lunge to grab it, and then athletic enough to get back to the base, and a diving play as he makes the tag on the base with the glove. So Chris Davis, outstanding defense. In fact, the Orioles tonight played outstanding defense all around. Miley eventually would allow five runs. It might have been worse in the line score for Miley if not for the tremendous defense. Now Texas would add to its lead in the top of the fourth, and again, it was a two-out base hit, two on, two down for Carlos Gomez. Here's the 0-1, and there's a base hit the other way down the right field line. Gomez delivers. Here's Odor around third. He will score. Heading to third is Lucroy. He'll be held as Rickard plays it back in, and on its second with an RBI double is Carlos Gomez. So a pair of two-out base hits in this game. Texas has two and a 2-0 lead. Well, the Orioles would chip back in it in the bottom of the fourth after Machado flied out to left field. Jonathan Scope, the red-hot Jonathan Scope, came up, and he delivered yet again for the Orioles. Hamels deals, swinging a high fly ball, left field. Back on it goes to Shields. That ball is deep, and that ball is gone. And the O's get on the board. It's a 2-1 game. Jonathan Scope, his team-leading 19th home run, and the O's are back in it. Well, the Orioles would rally further in that inning in the fourth, but come up short. They loaded the bases after the Scope home run on a walk to Trumbo, a hit batter Mancini, and then a walk to Castillo. But Ruben Tejada bounced out to third, and that ended the threat. So Miley went to the mound in the fifth trying to protect a 2-1 lead, He struck out Delino DeShields, but then walked Sin-Soo Choo after Elvis Andrus bounced into a force play at second base on a great play by Scope at Tejada. Adrian Beltre kept the inning going with a base hit. So two on with two down for Mike Napoli. And the pitch swung on and hit to left field. That ball's deep. Back on it, Mancini, and that ball is gone. He hung a pitch, and Napoli hits it out. That is a big, big blow. A three-run home run. It's now 5-1 Texas. And for Miley tonight, he allowed five runs in five innings and all five runs driven in with two men down. So when Cole Hamels took the mound in the bottom of the fifth, he was protecting a four-run lead. But the Orioles would get to him. Joey Rickard would lead off the inning from the number nine spot, and he would single the left field, and that would get the suddenly red-hot Adam Jones to the plate in the fifth. The left-hander deals 2-0, swinging a high fly ball right field. That chases Chu way back towards the bleachers, and that ball is gone! It carried out of here! Right over the grounds crew shed. Another opposite field home run for Jones, and here the O's are right back in it. It's a 5-3 game in the fifth. So for Jones, number 17, made it 5-3 after Machado nearly hit a home run. He hit it to the wall in deep left center field. Scope flied out to center field, and that got Trumbo up. Well, Machado tried that way. Scope tried that way, so Trumbo figured, I'll try that way. And the 3-0 swinging a high fly ball, center field. He got a lot of that one. Gomez back, and that ball is gone. It's onto the sod farm, and it's a one-run game as Trumbo goes deep. His 16th of the year, and just like that, 5-1 is 5-4. So Hamels would get out of that inning still with the lead, but the Orioles would get to him again as they came to bat in the sixth. Mancini led off the inning. He struck out. Castillo would single to center field. Tejada would bloop a single to right field. So two on with one down, and that got Joey Rickard up in the sixth inning with the O's down by a run. Hamels delivers the 2-2. Swinging a line drive. Base hit right field for Joey Rickard. Castillo goes to third. He's being sent. He's coming to the plate without a throw. And we are tied at five. Joey Rickard delivers. Bobby Dickerson on a ball to Chu charge, sending Castillo all the way. And Chu does not throw to the plate. And so as a result, Castillo scores without a throw, and that tied the game. That would be it for Cole Hamels. Jeremy Jeffers came on, and the first batter he faced was Adam Jones. Jeffers from the first base side of the rubber. And the 1-0 swinging the ground ball cued. That's a fair ball down the right field line. Tejada around third. He will score. Rickard is flying to third. He's held there. And Jones pulls up with a double. You talk about using all the real estate. He cued it down the right field line for an RBI double. And the O's have the lead at 6-5. But the Orioles weren't done. Machado would then hit a comebacker. And that would get Jonathan Scope up with runners at second and third and two down. Another big two-out base hit for the O's. So 2-2 on Scope, second and third, two down. And the pitch, swinging the ball, hit towards the middle. Base hit for Jonathan Scope. Here's Rickard to score. Here's Jones to score. Jonathan Scope, a three RBI night. And the Orioles now with an 8-5 lead at Camden Yards. So Jeffress not only could prevent the inherited runners to score. He allowed a couple of runs himself, and the Orioles were on their way. Chris Davis would come up against Jeffers leading off the seventh, and Davis in this series has been using the entire field. He did it again tonight, and a good result. Here's the pitch, swung on and lifted to left field and deep. Back on it is DeShields at the wall. It is gone! It carries out about three rows. And there's that opposite field power, and the Orioles now have a 9-5 lead. Davis joins the fun. Well, the Orioles' bullpen was doing an outstanding job after Miley left. Castro a scoreless inning, O'Day a scoreless inning, Brock a scoreless inning, and then Zach Britton came on for the ninth. He got the first two outs on ground outs, but then Chirinos would double after a walk. Sin-Soo Choo with a two-run single made it a 9-7 game, and it allowed the tying run to come to the plate. But Britton gained his composure, and he went after Elvis Andrus to try to get the final out. And the 1-1 is swung on and lifted to right. That's playable for Rickard. Backs up on it near the scoreboard, makes the catch, and the Orioles complete the four-game sweep. Got a little interesting and dicey there in the ninth, but Zach Britton comes through, and he gets the final out. So the Orioles win at 9-7. They complete the four-game sweep, improving now to 46 and 49 on the year. Texas now 45 and 50. We'll continue with the Browns Honda City postgame show after this on the Orioles Radio Network. Jim Hunter back at Camden Yards. Big night for the Birds. They complete the four-game sweep as they beat Texas and hang on in the ninth by a final of 9-7. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs now. Postgame comments from Buck Showalter.
How much does a four-game sweep, you know, affect everything this week?
It's a positive, but, you know, we got one of the best teams in baseball coming in tomorrow. So, I think it's kind of making sure you remember why. And if you do those things, you'll be in most games. I thought one of the keys tonight was the four outs we got that we took advantage of. We got a bunt to lead off the game, and Wade executed the way he wanted it done. Where Chris goes the bag, got a bunt back to him where Manny retreated, read it right. We got an out there, got a pickoff at first base. We got a great throw from Joey Rickard. Those are four outs against a team in the major leagues. Those are things that we have to do. That's kind of who we have to be to get those outs.
That bottom third of the order, I think, was 7 for 10. How big is that? Because you know what you're going to get from some other guys, but to get that kind of contribution.
Well, there's that potential. You know, Ruben very quietly has been doing well for us offensively. He's been a tough out for him. You know, there's just talk a lot of times about trying to create that lineup that guys have to grind all the way through it. You know, Wellington's got a track record of hitting. He's been struggling a little bit since he came off the DL, but he's been swinging it pretty well. And then Joy had some really, probably as big a hit as we had, got some things going. I mean, anytime you're down 5-1 to Cole Hamlin and you end up winning a game, you gotta like that.
Do you see any common threads? This is three games in a row that have had pretty big innings and overall big output. Do you see anything?
A lot of pass baton, a lot of some key walks. I think more than anything, just the Christmas of taking advantage of some outs that we have to get. You know, just I call them, they're almost earned, unearned outs that you got to get. You know, making a good throw to stop the inning, Joy made, you know. John Russell making a great read on the throw over and getting an out there. Manny reading the pitcher on that ball. Some people continue to get back to get an out. All the plays I talked about, Wade on the bunt, it sets a good tone. Those are things that allow you to play some crisp baseball. That's pretty good out of the bullpen.
What was your perspective of the way the bullpen pitched tonight? I mean, you got four strong innings there.
Yeah, you know, Zach, that's one of those things. It's almost good in a way for him to, you know, get a lot of pitches and get a good sweat going. I know he likes perfection, and, you know, he'll be working. He'll be better as a result of it. You know, I want to get Darren back out there. He pitched real well, you know. But I thought Castro was really good again. Of course, Brad continues to be solid there. To put those zeros up, you know, they went up 5-1 after a 3-run homer, and, you know, go out there and put some runs on the board against Hamill right away was big.
Yeah, but what does it say about the team when you're down 5-1 in the fifth against a guy like Hamels who's really been throwing well, and then you come back and not only take the lead, but...
Well, you know, we had like 21 innings unscored on coming in tonight. You can see why. He's a tough call. I mean, it's a sticky, hot night. It's tough to hold your stuff. And, we didn't take BP today because, you know, some of the warnings that were out. But, that's some things that we've done in the past that, put us in a good position in April and May, April and part of May. So hopefully it's a sign of us getting back to some of those things.
How do you feel about Wade's day today?
Okay. He's one pitch away from having a pretty good outing, but Napoli got him. And I think it was a backdoor slider that came over the plate.
One of the guys mentioned last night that a stretch like this could potentially quiet some of the trade rumors that like fluctuate around this time.
You really think that trade rumors will get quieted?
I'm going off what he thinks.
No, I know. What do you think?
I mean, can I ask, is there challenges to the fact that...
Yeah, every year. It's been this way for a long, long time. People throw stuff up against the wall that they really don't have much basis on, other than sometimes it's what they think should be done, you know. Not y'all, but, you know, it's about who's first, and all of a sudden you get 1 out of 10 right, and he goes, there, see, I told you so. It's a world we live in. It's okay. It's not just in sports. What are you gonna do? You got a choice. You know, you wade through it. It's not just in sports; it's in a lot of things. But you know, people seem to like to read about it and say, "Why did you see this?" And then another person talks about it a lot because there's, you know, such spreading of sharing of information. Not quite that many people do their own work, you know. So there's a lot of sharing of rumors, and they take. People seem to like it, and they like to talk about it. Anytime somebody's talking about baseball and not the upcoming college football season, I'm okay with that. I just, you know, but you do look for the players if it's affecting them. But no, I think it's falls under the captain obvious that to them that that's just this time of year. And once again, I'll tell you, it's a false deadline. It really is. People act like it's you got like the witching hour and the clock's ticking. That's not the case. Okie dokie.
So post-game comments from Buck Showalter as the Orioles win at 9-7, and Jonathan Schoop had another big night. He went 2-for-5 with a solo home run and three RBIs. He leads the Orioles in home runs. He has 19. He leads the Orioles in RBIs with 63. He leads the Orioles with 32 multi-hit games, and he leads the Orioles with 16 multi-RBI games. Jonathan Schoop with Gary Thorne and Mike Bordick on Masson after the game.
There is Jonathan Schoop. Came away with a very big series. 7-for-16, a home run, 9 RBIs. Three of those coming in the ballgame today, along with his 19th home run. Jonathan, congratulations. Great effort. Great series.
Thank you.
Hey, how about the offense just exploding here in the series against Texas? What's the feeling of the ball club about how you got that done after the Cubs series?
It feels good, especially after a win. You know, we get 4 wins, you know, swept them, and it feels really good, you know. And everybody start clicking together. You know, and looking forward to win more games and be back in the first place and trying to catch them to be back in the race.
Hey, Jonathan, what happens? How does the offense really kind of come together like they have the last three ball games and put these incredible numbers up? Do you have a meeting of the minds, or is it just you take your time and, you know, the patience will be there?
You know, just take your time and the patience, you know, and believe in each other, you know, and if they don't want to throw me strike, pass it to another guy. You know, that's what we've been doing right now. You know, if they don't want to give me something to hit, you know, pass it to the other guy and believe in each other. You know, we believe in each other since spring training, you know, and We cheer for each other. You know, if I don't do it, you know, I want him, the other guy, to do it.
Tell me, this year, you've been so consistent this season. What do you think has helped you to be consistent game in, game out so far?
You know, the game plan, you know, sitting with Cooley, you know, talking about the pitch he's going to do with me today and trying to achieve it, you know, and trying to think what they're going to do and be ready, like what's going my way, you know, be ready and trying to get a good pitch of it.
Hey, you and Manny seem to be having a little home run competition going right now. You take the lead over for the team with 19. Is that happening in the clubhouse?
Manny, like when he tied me, I think 2 weeks ago, he said, hey, you think I won't catch you? You know, I said, no, I didn't. I didn't even know we tied, you know. But you know
I got to ask you one last question. Did Manny, when you had a last at bat in an inning, did Manny actually take your glove out and drop it at the shortstop
spot? Yes, he did. You saw that? He did. On purpose. But I will get him back. I will tomorrow. I will get him back.
All right, Jonathan, thanks very much. Congratulations on a great series.
Thank you.
Now, Jonathan Schoop, just outstanding numbers on the homestand as well. He now has 9 RBIs on the homestand through the first 7 games.